Runs kindly for Morrison. It's Cal Morrison! Just listen to this, please! Spencer takes over. It's Brad Spencer! It's in the back of the net! There's Donaldson driving forward. Cole Donaldson! That is simply ridiculous! There's Tom Lang! Oh my word! Unbelievable! Phenomenal! Incredible! Invincible!
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk Football Fans in Training.
Douglas Adams in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy said that 42 is the meaning of the life, the universe and everything. What it means to Falkirk though is 42 games unbeaten in the league, over 500 days, the navy blue juggernaut rolls on. Hello Dougie Emery, don't look back in anger. A little Oasis reference here for you. Hi, I am John McAnally and welcome along to Falkirk Daft as we celebrate 500 days unbeaten in the league. And I'm joined in this celebration by the ginger god of pod himself, the one man bad in the main stand, Ross Wayne, everyone.
Good afternoon, sir. I think you've had a busy day as well, haven't you?
I've had a very busy day. You might hear a bit of differences if you watch it on YouTube. Hello, I'm in the Clyde One studios. I've just had a mad day producing Fred McCoy on Great Hits Radio this morning. We talked a bit about Falkirk, actually. And then straight into Super Scoreboard for the Old Firm. And it's just been one of those days. One of those days. But here we are, Falkirk Daft, ready and raring to go. Big show planned for you. We're going to look back at the game against Morton with Raymond Furby. And we're looking ahead to the Challenge Cup match against Stenhouse Muir in the company of Craig Telfer from the Terrace, who we spoke to earlier in the season. We didn't think we'd speak to him again, but there you go. Craig's coming back on. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about Blair Alston and his hat trick yesterday as well. How are you, Ross?
Yeah, same, mate. I've had a not so much as full on as you from a work perspective, but really busy day today. Busy morning with work and some tech issues that I had there as well. And then that's kind of followed me this afternoon. And then I've been out and about. So, yeah, it's been a real busy afternoon. But looking forward to dissecting yesterday and also looking ahead to next week as well.
I love a bit of tech issues. Listen, last week we were talking about celebrity fans. We got a message from Alan Smith on X. He says, "Hi guys, love the podcast. Thank you very much, Alan." On the subject of celebrity fans, Lee Child and Andrew Child, the Jack Reacher creators, have a character in the latest book, an FBI agent named Simon Stainrod. Coincidence? Reached out to them and found out if they know about the connection to Falkirk. Keep up the good work. That sounds interesting. Maybe QPR.
Well, I did a little bit of digging, and so Lee and Andrew Child are actually big, massive Aston Villa fans.
Right.
And Mr. Simon Stainrod was a Villa hero back in the day. So I think that's there, unfortunately. I don't think we're going to be able to get Andrew and Lee as Burns fans, I don't think.
Yeah, I did reach out to Ruth Connell as well. Remember, we were talking about Ruth Connell, who is watching Supernatural. I messaged her. Now, I didn't get a reply from her, but she did like the tweet. I said, "Are you a Falkirk supporter?" She did like it. So I am taking that as a yes from Ruth Connell.
The next step is we try and get her to invest.
Yeah, exactly. I'll try and get her on the show. I'd love to have that. We'll take that. So we're still looking for celebrity fans. Fraser Risk on X says, "Just got up last week's podcast last night when I was working. I'd been on holiday with my wife to the Isle of Skye. Very nice. And she was the main driver. She was the DJ. Unfortunately, my requests for the podcast were vetoed." Come on, Fraser Risk's wife. You'd love her banter. Anyway, regarding the celebrity fan issue, I believe you're forgetting about a fairly big celebrity fan of the Mighty Bairns. John will know him very well as a colleague of his, the one and only Ewan Cameron. While Ewan portrays himself as a Hearts fan, he seems to be a big fan of Falkirk, considering he's constantly singing Amarillo on the Big Saturday Football Show and the Big Scottish Football Podcast. He can die out all he wants, but we all know he loves the great FK. He does live in Falkirk after all. I'm sure he has a few quid in his pocket from his many, many years on the radio that he could donate to us. I will inform you right now, you're lucky to get a pint out of Ewan. Investment in Falkirk, probably not so. I do believe his son's been to a couple of Falkirk games, I think, because he comes from Falkirk as well. So, but I think, and unfortunately he is a jambo. So celebrity fans still thin on the ground. with that at the moment, but we'll try and track them down as the weeks progress. On the subject of songs from last week as well, we were talking obviously about the fantastic song for Brad Spencer, based on Bruce Springsteen. A few people I'd sort of maybe shout out, can we have an AC/DC based song? Someone on our YouTube channel, remember, like and subscribe to our YouTube channel if you can. Michael on there says, Thunderstruck intro, surely a goer, easily adapted to Falkirk. Feels like a chant or game for Games Under the Lights. So, you know, Falkirk.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Falkirk. I'm all in for that, by the way.
Yeah, I like that.
I've got to say, though, hats off to Alan Brown, who's put a big, big bit of thought into this. I don't know if you're familiar with the AC/DC song Big Balls, Ross?
No, I'm not.
So it would go along, basically the song goes, he's got big balls, she's got big balls, we've got the biggest balls of them all, right? Right. So he's went for, McKeever's got big balls, O'Call's got big balls, and they're such big balls, dirty big balls, and Tate's got big balls, and Spencer's got big balls, but Hendo's got the biggest balls of them all. So maybe see if that one can catch on. I have to shout out to Graham Rehill. I forgot to mention this last week. His son and his friend started calling Sean Mackey Killian McMackey. Superb.
That is a brilliant nickname. That is a fantastic nickname.
Absolutely get there. Listen, before we move on in the podcast, got to say our thanks to our sponsors. We're going to kick off this week. This week's episode is sponsored, as well as our usual sponsors, by the Falkirk District Tartan Army, Ross.
They are, yes. So brilliant from Neil and the guys at the FDTA. So for those that don't know, the Falkirk District Tartan Army run buses from Elliot's, aka the Graham Hotel, to all the Scotland home games. They do have a website for anyone interested, falkirkdistricttartanarmy.com, where you'll be able to find details about joining the supporters club. You can buy merch, and that's how you book seats for games as well. Now, they've been going since 2016. Their membership steadily growing year on year as well. And as I mentioned, Neil Callaghan, well-known Bairns fan, he started it as there wasn't really any buses from the area going to Hampden, and trying to get home was a nightmare on the train. And I think we can all agree with that one. However, what they also do is if people do want to go through in the train, they help people get back on the bus as well. So that's brilliant. And they are also members of the Association of Tartan Army Clubs. So they're involved at that level. And, which is lovely, they are regularly big donators to the Tartan Army Sunshine Appeal. And for people that don't know who that is, it's a charity that's been set up to make donations in countries that Scotland play in, which sounds absolutely fantastic. So if any Scotland and Falkirk fans are looking to get to Hampden, try and knock up the website that we've just mentioned, because I'm sure Neil and the guys will be very welcoming.
Yeah, and if you are a big Scotland supporter as well as a Falkirk supporter, all the links are below. Just click on that. Get in touch with Neil and the guys. You know, a couple of pints in Elliot's before Scotland game sounds good to me. Out to the game and then back to Elliot's. So yeah, all the links are in the description below. So check those guys out and get signed up with Neil and the rest of the troops at the Falkirk District Tartan Army. Also, thank you to the Falkirk football fans and training T8s, of course, supporting people and making memories along the way. Teams arrive as opponents, leave as friend. The Lava Cup, we have seen, is on the way. I saw the Icelandic football in Britain posted something, which we posted on our socials there. And of course, the T8 guys, sock sponsors of Falkirk this year. And they've got a new initiative, Ross, haven't they?
They've got in touch with us this week. So jointly with the Falkirk Foundation Walking Football Squad, they've collaborated to provide an opportunity for those that feel that they're ready to progress from walking football, but maybe not quite ready for the full sort of Tuesday night Falkirk Fit Legends game that goes on. So what they've done is they've developed what they're branding as the Super Vets Football, which is strictly over 50s, 8-a-side, playing the old style 5-a-side rules.
Nice.
It's nice, isn't it? Their aim is to provide an opportunity for older people to get off the couch with the possibility of potentially doing competitions both in Scotland and across the UK. Now, this is going to take place every Friday on the Falkirk Stadium main pitch, which is kind of cool, and that's between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. And if anybody is interested, they just need to shout out to the Fit team specifically. We've got Willie Sharp, Ian Mitchell or Doogie McCallum.
Yeah, again, the link for that is below, which you can get in touch. So, great chance if you're over 50 to get involved in classic five-a-side rules. I'm all in for that. Absolutely, you know, definitely need to get it down to one of the sessions if we're allowed. and try and show ourselves as footballers, Ross, but that will be few and far between. And we'll talk about Behind the Wall a bit later on, because they've got a couple of things going on. I wonder if anyone got on to the U2 show on Friday, the W2 show. That'd be interesting to hear. News, of course, talking about Behind the Wall. We're going to be in there. Falkirk Daft Live is coming there the night before the Dunfermline game, which is the 23rd of October, I'm right in saying?
The game, I think, is the 26th. And so we're at Falkirk Daft Live on Friday the 25th.
There we go.
Yep.
Tickets on sale very, very soon. I think we'll probably put them on sale this Friday. We don't know what the fixture is. It might have to get moved if obviously we have a fixture clash with that. But we'll put the tickets on sale because a load of people... Ross put a cheeky teaser up the other day there around about the Oasis tickets. Did you get Oasis tickets?
Struggled, mate. I honestly, 4 hours wasted yesterday morning, raging.
Yeah, 180,000. Got down to, you know, the front of the queue. And then reject. It showed VIP tickets. I thought, all right, come on then. Yeah. I clicked on that, couldn't get them at all. But I heard a few people that if you held on, like on the ticket master, you know, they had to do the resale kind of, but based on the valuation. So I spoke to actually Mark Wilson, who was in there doing Super Scoreboard. And I said, did you get tickets? Because he's a mad Oasis fan as well. And he was like, I managed to get them in the end, but it was 75 quid tickets, which would went up to 160 quid by the time he got on, which is mental. Yeah. But well, I'm on for it. So I gutted. Let us know if you got an Oasis ticket. Delighted to see if any of the Falkirk supporters got tickets for that. Falkirk women. Back to Falkirk Daft Live. Tickets will go on sale probably this Friday. We don't know what we're doing yet. Guess to be confirmed, but hey ho, we'll wait and we'll cobble something together, Ross. We'll always do.
We will. It's we will indeed. Well, obviously, we've got a few ideas between us as to what we can do on the right, and also as to some guests as well. So
yeah,
we'll definitely do that. Brian from Behind the Wall, he obviously got in touch earlier on today as well. So he would just wanted to give a shout out the fact that this weekend coming is not only Falkirk Steny, but the international football is coming up as well. So there's the double header, Scotland Poland on Thursday, and then Portugal versus Scotland. Both games shown live in Behind the Wall. No bus to Stenismere next week for obvious reasons. However, they will be back on for the 14th of September when we're away to Airdrie. The bus will be back, so get booked in there as well. And the Invincibles lager and the pint glasses are still on sale and selling very, very well.
By the way, the Invincible beer is very, very nice. Getting stuck in about that. Falkirk women, obviously, were supporting the women's team. What a result for the girls this afternoon. Pumped Airdrie 7-0. Brilliant work. Loads of goals flying in. Two for Shannon Todd. Just going down this just now. Who else got a goal today? Looking down. Karen McCabe got a goal first for Falkirk. We had just goals flying in left, right and centre. It was 4-0 at half-time. Iona Bridges, of course. Olivia Murphy getting a double as well. Brogan Anderson in the act as well. What a fantastic result for the Falkirk women. 7-0 victors over Airdrie at the stadium today. Brilliant.
Brilliant scoreline. And what an achievement. Like, the goals are flying in for Falkirk women just now. They really, really are. And hopefully that's a very good omen for when we play Airdrie in a fortnight's time. I would take every day of the week, I would take a scoreline like that. But John, brilliant weekend for Falkirk in general though, because I believe the under-16s won this morning as well. I think the under-18s drew on Friday night. So, and obviously the first team got our win yesterday. So it's been a good weekend for Falkirk teams this weekend.
Absolutely. The girls are away to East Fife at Bayview next Sunday. Sunday after that, they're at home at the Falkirk Stadium to West Dyke Ladies. And then at the weekend after that, again at the stadium to Forfar Farmington. So we'll keep you updated with those results, Ross. See?
Like it. Informed.
There you go. Informed. Yes, informed of those results. What else have we got going on at the moment? We have been, I don't know what this is, Ross. The club is pleased to announce it has been recognised by the government with the highest badge of honour for supporting the Armed Forces community as a Gold Status Employment Recognition Scheme organisation.
Yeah, it sounds very impressive.
It sounds impressive.
It does sound impressive. I noticed, though, obviously, the club do, because I read the brief, the club obviously do a very, very good Armed Forces Day Every November, if I'm being honest, between from what I see, it looks like probably Falkirk are just up the we're up there in terms of like what Hearts do, what Rangers do. So it's fantastic, and obviously tickets are also provided to sort of, I think it's the Grangemouth British Legion, I could be wrong, and obviously they raise money every year with the shirt sales, with the Poppy shirt sales and stuff like that as well. So brilliant work, and yeah, long may things like that continue, because it's just another good news story to be attached to the club.
Of course, talking about good news, tickets on sale obviously still for the sale. It's any game on Saturday. I think 1,200, 1,800 sold so far on Friday. So that's going to be a big crowd down at Oakleview on Saturday. And I think there's only 350 left for this game against Celtic. Over 2,000 tickets sold for that match so far. So that's brilliant. So tickets available on the Fanbase app for Stenny, and the Celtic tickets are available at the club shop. Big queues when they went on sale, Ross.
Massive queues, yeah. And it just, you know, see when the players turn up for training and they see hundreds and hundreds of fans queuing outside the stadium for games, like what another big boost that must be to them, especially some of the players who have maybe played at clubs where that sort of energy and that passion and that and the numbers are just not there. But I think that sounds like it's going to be a brilliant sold-out crowd, probably at Stenhousemuir and Celtic for us. And the players, It's no more than they deserve. It's been fantastic start to the season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Right, let's get in talking about good starts to the season. Let's link into that and talk about the game against Morton at Capello yesterday. And we're going to do that in the company of our guest pundit this week. It's Ray Wilson-Furby.
Hi.
Hey, sir, how you doing?
Good, good. I'm feeling very, very rough, I'm not going to lie.
Was that a good away day yesterday, Ray?
Aye, few adult beverages out in Greenock after the game.
Oh, did you go out in Greenock after the game? Did you not just get the train back into Glasgow, go there and then...
Nah, so one of my mates is a Morton supporter, so I went out with him after it.
That would be an interesting conversation.
I was trying not to rub it in too much, and I could tell he was gutted, but as well as...
That is, do you know what? It is what it is. You're absolutely right. It is what it is. Ray, before we get into the match, we need to ask you, what was the first game you went to as a Falkirk supporter?
Well, the thing is, I'm not a lifelong supporter, as you might know, but I did go to a few games when I was young, back in the 90s, but I don't really feel like it counts. I didn't really like football back then either. I went to a couple of games at Brockville, but couldn't even tell you what the score was. I just remember being really, really bored. The first game I properly went to was the 1-0 against Ross County in 2005. Pretty good one for, but in terms of like properly going, I've started going to the games as of the start of last season. That's when I would really say that's when my support really started, to be honest.
You've timed that really well, Henry. Form has picked up massively.
Let me call you a glory hunter, Ray.
Well, this is the thing. On the one hand, I've got absolutely no issue at all with being called a glory hunter, because it means the team's doing so well, if that's the case.
Yeah, I'm in for that, yeah.
But at the same time, the thing I've got to point out is I jumped on after we got scudded 6-2 by Airdrie, so...
Yes, that is true. True. We'll let you off then. Well, what a season to join. Really pushing that. But so thanks for jumping on the podcast. I'm going to ask you this question then, because this is what the question that we normally ask is: who's the worst player to pull on a Falkirk jersey? But then if you've only been watching us for the last season, there's a few to choose from.
Well, I mean, obviously I've still kept up. You know, it's still my hometown and that, so I do check. But like, I could pick a name, but it would feel a bit disingenuous because I wasn't actually experiencing it. I could say plenty of names, but it's got to be Brad McKay, isn't it? Like a guy that kind of cut it in League One, and he was pretty rough the times that I did see him as well.
Brad McKay.
I forgot about
Missed that chance. Brilliant. Let's get into the game against Morton. 3-2 Falkirk. two goals down. We come back 3-2. Brad Spencer, Dylan Tate, and big Captain Chaos himself, Alfie Agumon, on the score sheet. No changes to the squad from last week. Bar Callum Morrison, who was out with an illness. I think John McGuinn reported that in his pre-match interview. But still without Lang, obviously, Sneddon and Nesbitt nowhere to be seen. Fingers crossed they can start. I think there's more positivity on Lang now. Am I right in saying that, Ross?
Yeah, John McGuinn mentioned that Tam might only be a few weeks away, which sounds really, really positive. Same with,
I'm so excited.
Same with Sneddon. I know, I can see your excitement building there, John. And I think the big positive news was Nesbitt is likely to be back for in the squad for Stenismuir, which is fantastic. Obviously, we're not sure about Callum. We don't know the extent of his illness, whether it's just a bug or something else. So fingers crossed he's on the mend and he makes it next week too.
Yeah, fingers crossed. You know, the good thing is, as we said, we've got cover. You know, when you saw what Alfie did coming off the bench the last couple of weeks when Alfie's come off the bench, and I think John McGuinn mentioned that Alfie's been very unlucky not to have been starting games as well. So we've got cover here, which is the good thing. But great to hear that Tom might be on his way back. 1,100 Falkirk supporters travelling through to Morton yesterday. Fantastic. And you look down at the attendances, and again, Falkirk are there and abouts, despite, you know, a poor home support.
Yeah, Ray, obviously, I know you were in amongst it, and I don't know what your Morton pals' thoughts on it were, but the atmosphere, fantastic yesterday.
It was really, really good. What I liked in particular, though, is that when we went 2-0 down, it wasn't like that, we still kept the team going, and I think that makes a really, really big difference, where you can go two goals down and the heats can drop and then you can end up getting battered. And I think that maybe in years previous, Falkirk sides have capitulated, Airdrie, for example, as well. But nah, even at 2-0, the vibe I got for everybody is, whilst we were all wound up at how poor the goals were, and they were poor, you still thought, we'll get back in this. I didn't have any doubt, to be honest. No.
Fair to say Morton were the better side in that first kind of half hour, Ross.
Yeah, well, obviously not just the scoreline, but the chances as well. They had certainly had the best of the early chances. The lad Moffat looked dangerous every time he went forward. Really good save by Nicky early doors as well. But yeah, it kind of felt like the goal might come, and it was probably going to come from then. I saw a comment on social media last night saying it looked like the defence had only met each other 5 minutes before kickoff. And it's quite funny because obviously we've talked a lot about how good our team is in terms of like their camaraderie and the teamwork. I think that it might be a little bit of an unfair comment, that one. It's obviously just been, we'll talk about it in a second, but we've been undone by a very similar ball into the box. One of them looked offside, the second one. But Morton definitely did have the best of the early chance.
Two set plays put us 2-0 down. Like you said, Ross, both very similar goals. Now, we've talked, you know, I think even in the Untouchables book, that John McGuinn was asked about zonal marking. Pablo's obviously got a bee in his bonnet about zonal marking as well. Has it been the zonal marking, or has it just been people not defending well? What do you think, Ray?
I don't know. I think the second one is worse than the first one, to be honest, because you've got a knock on as well. We don't deal with the first ball, and then a guy's completely unmarked with the second part of it. The first one, I want to try and give Morton some credit. It's a brilliant delivery. If we'd scored that, we would be buzzing about how good that ball was. Second one's really, really poor though. Don't know. I don't know what went wrong defensively, because we've really, over the last year, stopped conceding goals like that. And then there you go. Sometimes it just happens.
I think there'll be defensive set piece training this week. I'd imagine that'll be our focus. But I know I've mentioned it there just now. I actually think, see, when you watch the second one again and again, I think it was offside. I think the lad Baird was offside when the ball and when the flick on came in as well. But it is what it is, as we said. And we found ourselves 2-0 down. But we had a wee chance before that. It would have been a nice cheeky goal with McKeever putting a wee back heel. And I watched it back, and it just, because at the time it's a bit of a kerfuffle in the box. But when you watch the highlights back and watch it a couple of times, that would have been a nice wee cheeky back heel goal. Remember, Rory Loy scored one like that a few years back. I think we might have been playing Hibs, and he scored a cheeky wee back heel at Easter Road, I'm sure it was. But yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it was two poor set pieces, and that has been a bit of an Achilles heel over the last couple of seasons, is corner kicks and free kicks. We don't, we defend, I think, very well from open play, but it is when we've lost goals. Certainly going back to that League One season where, it was us against Dunfermline, that was a big Achilles heel for us. Just hopefully that's just not creeping back in. And I'm sure John McGlynn will have them working harder on their defending set pieces this week. But we managed to get back in via a very soft penalty, I would say.
Big
Ross,
time.
what were your thoughts on it?
Well, for me, Ray, chip in, feel free. But for me at the time, it just looked, obviously, it looked really clumsy. When you watch it live, but I think the replay, it does show us he's pulled. And I know Ian Sneddon's put a picture, a still picture, doesn't always tell the story, but it does look as if he's been held back. I think if it was against you, you'd be moaning about it. But for me, if he's been held back, and there was no protests from the Morton players as well, which I think speaks volumes. Ray, what about you?
I think it was harsh at the time. I've watched the highlights back a few times and just kept going over the penalty, and oh, I would be raging if Coll or a Hendo had conceded that. But like you say, you can usually tell by the reaction of the players if they're surrounding the referee instantly. I don't know why players do that anyway, because the ref's not going to change his mind. But I again, it is what it is. Sometimes you've just got to get a wee bit of luck sometimes.
We've had these go against us. Do you know what I mean? So you take it when it comes along. But I genuinely think the reaction of the Morton players, unlike the manager after the game, the reaction of the Morton players was there was no contest there. So for me, that speaks volumes that it probably was a penalty.
Yeah, I thought Matt Upinsworth, I thought, looked very, very soft. But listen, we'll take it. Obviously, Cal Morrison not there. So Brad Spencer kept us invincible with a penalty and, got us back in the game as well. Good, well-taken penalty. And, we kept pushing, and we got the goal. Lovely move by Falkirk. Brilliant run and pass from Ethan Ross, who, slides into Dylan Tate. And it was just a textbook. We've seen this. I think Dylan Tate scored. What was it when Dylan Tate scored? Was it against Hearts? He scored quite a similar goal as well. So great move and a great finish. And then 2-2, and we're into half time looking all right, Ray.
I mean, I think there was also that moment with Coll when it was 2-1. He makes that brilliant challenge. I know my mate was texting me during the game. He's like, "That's a Stonewall penalty," and I'm like, "Oh, I don't know." Again, looking at the highlights, it's an absolutely fantastic bit of defending. Really, really is. We get the goal, and Tate just seems so calm and collected when he's in the box. He's the kind of He makes that late run into the box. Every team, you want a midfielder that'll make that kind of run, because they'll get 10, 15 goals a season picking up these kind of positions. Dylan Tate's a great player.
Oh, he's great. Again, Ross, we criticised him a wee bit in last week's podcast, but he certainly bounced back from it in this game.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Going back to the specifics with the goal, the run, and the sort of planning and what went through the execution from Ethan Ross was just fantastic. Lovely. He turned the guy brilliantly, kept the ball in play, picked Dylan out really, really nicely. And just as you've said, John, it was a placed finish similar to his Hearts finish. It was also a placed finish similar to his first goal that he scored for us. Remember that Alloa away game last season as well. So he's so, as you said, he's so calm, collected. See, other than when he scores, he kind of keeps his head down as well. Like he doesn't go looking for bother or looking for trouble. But when he scores, like I love it how he always goes to the away fans or the opposition fans, beg your pardon, as yesterday's game was, and try to wind them up and stuff. Love that. Love it. It's a bit of banter, I don't know.
I know it was very similar. It was very similar to that that goal against Alo. Just it's just the placement and the keeper. He's obviously got that in his locket. That just that wee pass. It's almost like outside the boot, and like he did it against Alo with his first goal for Falkirk, and like it's just very nice to see. And Dylan Tate, you bounce back after I thought you know we were saying it was a poor performance from his standards last week, and certainly had a good game yesterday. Now, let's talk Ethan Ross here, because in our group chat, Ray, there's been a bit of a split on Ethan Ross's performance against Morton. What did you make of him?
I thought he was pretty good. Good assist. Something I've been wondering about as well is that when Morrison is fully fit, like what happens with Ross? Does he just get bombed back out the team? Because I think he's playing well enough to still be starting. The issue that we've got with Ross is that you kind of lose something when you put Miller out on the right because he's not a right winger. It's all good problems for McGlynn to have though. But I'm happy with how he played. Surprised to hear that there's people that think otherwise. But all
There's
right.
a certain person in our group chat, Ray, that will remain unnamed, who absolutely slated Ethan Ross's performance yesterday, saying he was getting a lot of stick from the fans. Did you hear it?
Well, I was right up at the back, like on the sort of concourse, but I wouldn't say I specifically heard any shouts or anything like that. Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't see much fault. I mean, I obviously only saw bits and bobs of the game yesterday. Ross Wayne, you were against you were all for Ethan Ross having a good game as opposed to a bad game, weren't you?
I didn't see anything. It's difficult, John, because obviously you don't sit and analyze every single player in terms of like because you just can't do it. But I wouldn't have shouted out Ethan Ross as having had a bad game yesterday. But I think going back to Ray's point about it being a problem, it is a selection headache for John McGlynn, I'm sure, because Morrison probably will be back from his illness in the next 7 to 10 days. On current form, I'd probably have Alfie in right wing. I would have Ethan Ross at left wing, and that's not a slight on Calvin Miller because he's been tasked with doing a job in the right wing. I think he's a better left winger than he is a right winger.
I agree.
But how can you drop Ethan Ross in the form that he's in? I don't think you can do it.
I want to talk about team selection when we preview the Steny game, because that's something I think should happen against Stenismuir. But we'll talk about that when we speak to Craig Telford a bit later on as we preview Stenismuir. So 2-2 in at half time, looking all right. I mean, that's to come back from two goals down and getting that goal just kind of before half time. What a moment to get it. What did you make of the second half performance, Ray?
I don't, I'm not sure how I feel. I kind of felt up until we scored that it's not going to happen. That was kind of the sense I had, and it was like coming back for two goals down. Would you take a draw when you're two goals down? Of course you would. So we kind of huffed and puffed a wee bit, and then they still had a couple of chances as well. It really did. It felt like it was. It was maybe not going to be a game that we were going to win. I'm so happy that we managed to get the win though. Absolutely buzzing with that.
They had a couple of chances you mentioned, and most of them coming falling to J. Emmanuel Thomas Ross. Now that's a player that the Jet that they signed in the course season. I thought, remember when he was at Aberdeen, he was half decent. I think he went to Livy as well. Boy, looked like he was towing a cart horse. I mean, you can tell he's got moments. I think he slid a great ball through to Moffat at one point, and you can tell he's got moments in there. But Jesus, he doesn't look like he's fit, does he?
No, that was my first impression. And then obviously when you see some of the pictures that have emerged today as well, because obviously the camera zooms in, don't they? He's a big lad. I don't think he is as fit as he maybe was. Certainly, see when you look at him as a Livingston and as Aberdeen player, this boy is as fit as he can be, and he looks half the size he was as well. He missed a couple of half chances yesterday, firing over the bar. You're right, he played a lovely ball into the boy Moffat, who looked dangerous all day, to be fair to him. But yeah, that they definitely, again, like the first half, they definitely had the best of the second half too, to be honest.
Yeah, but they didn't have the best of the second half because we won the second half 1-0. And the big catalyst for that was obviously Captain Chaos himself, Mr. Alfredo Aguiman, coming off the bench and getting a cracking goal.
For me, that is one of the sexiest goals we've scored all season. And I know we've scored a few
Yeah.
bangers this year, right? But see, when I must have watched it back 15 times, right? Not all from the main stand angle. There's the footage from behind the
Yeah, I
goals.
saw Ruby Adam had got a really nice angle.
Ruby got a brilliant bit of clippage, and I think that Lewis Smiley, she got a similar angle from the club's videographer as well, and it was just so nice. Like it doesn't really touch the ball much. Like the header comes in, brilliant cushioned header by Dylan Tate. He then uses like a this little like shimmy, and there was a dummy, sorry, then the shimmy. He only really touches it like maybe one small touch to kind of get himself set up, and then what a finish. And yeah, just such a sexy goal, and that the limbs and the scenes in the away end from the main stand camera just looked fantastic.
Yeah, you're a fan of Alfie.
I like the there's no other way of saying it. It's chaos that he brings because he's just got that unpredictable element, and like you say, with his goal, he barely even as he faints, and then the defender just completely gets sold by it, and then he just has all this the time in the world to place it. Some reaction, like you say, with the stand. I love that. See, you hugging like complete strangers and that, and like just absolute pandemonium quality.
No, do you know what it did remind me of, Ross? It's another goal against Ala, funnily enough, when Ola scored last season when he came off the bench and scored the exact kind of shimmy and letting the ball run across him. And then it kind of reminded me of that goal as well.
Yeah, it was a very similar scenario to that one, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I think, I'm going back to it, but Alfie deserves a start. I know he's a great impact player. That goes without saying, and maybe that's what McGlynn sees his role in the team as, because any time he comes off the bench, we get a reaction. And just defenders at that time when he's coming on with half an hour to go, 20 minutes to go, and you're facing Alfie Aguiman, who we've said so many times, just brings the chaos. He doesn't know what he's got to do half the time. The defender doesn't know what he's got to do half the time. So it just, he's great for that, but I think he deserves a start, Ross.
I think he does as well. I'd love to see him starting either Stenhousemuir or the Airdrie game, the next league game. I think he deserves it. He's come in and made massive impact. Maybe though, and I know we have made this comment before, maybe he is an impact player that we should be utilizing more than a starter, but he certainly deserves it from his attitude's first class. Like you see when he scored that goal, like everybody loves scoring a goal, right? But did you see smile, especially when
Oh, I
all
loved it.
that
Loved it.
footage for behind the goals? And yeah, you just want him to do so well, and I
Yeah.
think he will. I'd love to see him starting against Stenhousemuir certainly, and see if he can kind of nail the place down himself.
Hand out a few contracts. Obviously, we've got the Celtic money. We didn't even talk about transfer deadline in the news, and the fact that we haven't brought anyone in as we might have hoped. I mean, we could still, obviously, the loan market's still open to us. But maybe using that some of the money, Ray, would you like to see an extended contract for Big Alfie?
I would be no issues at all with him extending his stay. He seems like a good lad. I imagine that he's popular in the dressing room. He seems like he's quite a positive, upbeat kind of guy. And again, he could go down because he isn't starting games, but he always brings something when he comes on. Happy with him getting another contract as well, but I would also like to see him maybe get a shot playing up front sometimes as well, because I mean, he scored his goal from a more central area, so.
I think that's an option. We talked about, if Ross was to get injured, our options are basically Gary Oliver or Ryan Shanley going into that nine position. I think Alfie is also an option there for me, running at people. And we've not really seen that side of Alfie's game where he has the hold up play and brings Morrison or brings Miller on the other side or the wingers into play. But I think he could do that. And, you know, like you say, he, in that central nine role, he would just bring so much more chaos.
Absolutely. The problem with Shanley is that I don't want to dig anybody out. I don't think that's the right thing to do, but he's not really had a big moment in the last wee while. Do you know what I mean? Where, like, you can see this is what he brings to the team. I don't know if that's maybe being a bit harsh.
No, I don't think it is. I think Ryan Shanley's a bit of a, you know, I think he needs confidence. He maybe needs a start. Maybe he gets that against Dennis Brunier. Who knows? But I don't think there's any issues with that. But yeah, Morton had, again, like you say, a couple of chances near the end. Your man kicked over to the right wing to King, who beats two men but fired over the bar. But aside from that, you know, it was, you know, that final whistle going, 3-2 win, up the road, Ross, 502 days beaten. And I think Leverkusen got beat yesterday. Does that mean we're the last man standing?
That's what it means, yeah. They got beat 3-2 yesterday. So, yeah, 502 days, I think we're at now, since we lost the league game, which is phenomenal. And can you imagine being the only unbeaten side left in Europe? That's a stat, isn't it? That is a stat and a half.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's keep the run going. See if we can last it out and be the only unbeaten team in Scotland in the league. Well, I think Celtic will struggle against Celtic the way they're playing at the moment. But we'll wait and see how it goes. Let's hear what John McGlynn had to say after the game.
Gaffer, I think for the first time a few fans were maybe thinking, you know, is this the end of the league streak? But doesn't matter what gets thrown at this team, they still come out on top.
Absolutely, how can you doubt this team? Yeah. We didn't start the game, you know, fair play to Morton, they were very much up for it, they played in the front foot, they caused us problems, which resulted in us giving away free kicks, which resulted the ball getting into our box, and we've not defended them, and if you don't defend them, then you're liable to lose goals, and unfortunately, that's what happened, and we had to dig deep, Morton just couldn't quite keep that intensity in their game. We crept into the game, we made a few passes a little bit, we got ourselves into some better positions, and we ended up getting a penalty. Dylan draws a penalty, Brad's got a little bit of pressure on him then, because we've not started really well, game's not going well for us, so a lot of pressure on Brad to take that penalty, but he sticks away and gets us back in the game, gives us a lift. And the second goal's a really, really good, really, really well-worked goal. It's a really good, really good move. I've not seen it back, but I know it's been a few passes down the left-hand side. And I think Ethan's played in Dylan, and Dylan's showed a lot of composure just to pass it away in the far corner. Very, very similar to one of the goals you scored against Alloa last year. So 2-2 at half-time. We had a wee chance. Maybe we could have made it 3-2. Could have went 3-2 ahead at half-time, just before half-time. But I think that would have been a bit harsh on Morton, who had done really, really well. We defended better in the second half. We didn't give up so many. We didn't give away so many free kicks and get the ball played in our box. We had a bit of a grip of the game in the second half. The lad Muffet's got a really good chance for them, coming in his right foot, and he's put it by the faraway post. And from the angle we've got, you're just waiting at hitting the back of the net. But thankfully for us, but we were a threat at the other end as well. Make some substitutions, and delighted that one of them, Alfie's, come on and scored the winning goal, which he's taken really well. And Alfie's been knocking on the door with regards to getting, you know, possibly starting games. As I said, probably before the Hearts game, it was a toss of a coin between him and Ethan. And, you know, Ethan's done well also. We're very fortunate to have, you know, Callum Morrison's not here today. We're fortunate to have Callum, Calvin, Ethan, Alfie today coming off the bench and scoring the winning goal. So, you know, even today, four players missing and we can come back for being 2-0 down. So, once we get everyone together, you know, I think our squad's very strong. What they've got, you can't buy. They've got a great team spirit. They've got a great camaraderie amongst them. They've got a never-say-die attitude. And I think, you know, Morton were very good today. I think that teams will find it really difficult coming here. And we are delighted to be going away for here with 3 points.
So, John, it's complimentary towards Morton. And now, if you saw the Dougie Imrie interview on the other hand, not so complimentary for the referee or our players, moaning about the fact that Dylan Tate may have fooled the referee, and also that we took the free kick in the build-up to our second goal 10 yards away from where it should have been. Fair enough. I actually think he's got fair points, but the toys were well and truly out the pram.
Yeah, I think someone at Morton should have said to him, listen,
let's do that again.
We'll do that again, or we'll send someone else to go and speak to the media, because apparently the rumour is from the photographers who were all sort of post-match kicking about, apparently Imrie was just like a wee ball of rage in the dugout, just sort of talking to his cell and shouting at everybody. I think, does he have a point? He obviously, he's adjudged about the goal, but again, not one of his players had an issue with the penalty being given.
I think from the second goal, it's a bit, you know, sour grapes. The fact we're basically taking the free kick from 80, you know, from our own 18-yard line and moving it a wee bit, you know, and he's got his team have got plenty of time to defend that goal.
They have. That's the thing. Like, it's not as if we've, like, just, as you said, at the edge of their box went and scored. We've as deep into our half. We've not actually moved it forward that much. It's certainly like to the wide part of it, we've moved it away. But his team have had more than enough opportunity to defend that situation. And listen, they'll take points off people this year. I don't know why he was so peed off. It's the first game they've not taken in from this year. They've took points off Livy already, who'll be there or thereabouts.
Yep.
I think they will take points off other people as well. And I'm really chuffed that we got the 3 points. Massively, massively chuffed.
Yeah, absolutely. To walk away from Capello, it's a hard place to go and get 3 points, you know, in B12. But, I mean, at the start of the season, I didn't think we'd be on 12 points at this point. What did you think, Ray?
I mean, when Jamie Swinney was talking about it, you know, he'd said that we'd budgeted to finish fifth. And I think that if you're realistic, when the season kicked off, you would be hoping to consolidate in the league, maybe flirt with the playoffs. But I mean, if we keep going, we'll be top of the league. And that's crazy.
I'm keeping my feet on the ground. Ross is more positive. I'm just like, fifth is still good for me. Fifth is still good for me. I keep saying that in my head, right? Let's see what you guys said about yesterday's game. Neil kicks us off saying, not played the best, but to come back from two down and one just shows the mentality of this team. The navy blue juggernaut continues to roll on. Come on, ye bairns.
Love it. Grant says, wow, the boys just never give up. Was a game that could have gone the other way, but we got a goal back quickly and from there never looked back. Not many teams would come back from 2-0 down at Capello and win. Amazing attitude and determination from the boys. What a brilliant win.
Craig, first 25 minutes, we deserve to be 2-0 down. From then on in, you can see the desire, the quality and spirit from this team. Two excellent goals and potentially another penalty for a shove on Henderson. I didn't see that. Did you see that, anyone?
Yeah, it probably was, but I think he was never going to give it, John, based on everything that was going on in the game.
Rage of Dougie Imrie.
Yeah, I don't think so, but it could have been, and it was worth a shout, as always.
Yeah, Craig says, thought the ref was poor for both, however, the bigger decisions he got right.
Yeah. Lewis said, a goal and assist from Tate and back to celebrating in front of the opposition. Great to see. Got to keep taking it one game at a time, but long may this run continue.
Keep the football cliches coming. Willie says, Alfie was different class when he came on and his goal was a classic.
It really was. Dell continues with, every team wants to knock us off our perch and today was no different. Morton had a game plan and it nearly worked. We answered some questions today about our credentials for the league and some. To win like that is a huge wake-up call to the other teams. Totally agree, Will.
Yeah. People will be looking at us now and going, right, okay, how do we get past Falkirk? You know, because we beat Partick Thistle, beat Dunfermline, now Morton. It'll be interesting to see our little hoodoo against Airdrie. Hopefully finish that in a couple of weeks. their game's going to be an absolute acid test when we face them at the start of October. 2007 Bayern, Ethan Ross, take a bow, son. Magnificent performance. Now, this guy obviously is against the person in our group chat. Got to admit, 2-0 down, you think this is the day, but wow, this team never panicked, play their football, and more than deserved all 3 points. Defending set plays this week for training, please, boys.
And last but not least, Hendo says, has there ever been back-to-back Invincibles?
Come on now.
I don't know, but we're on our way. Come on, ye Bairns. What a team.
Oh, man. It was, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I was sitting watching it in the house and, it was just... smashing, just to come down. When you have a comeback win like that, it's always so much sweeter, isn't it? Absolutely, especially when you get the other opposition riled up, as we clearly did, Morton. I got a message from George Bowie, who was on the podcast previewing the show last week, and George said, "Hey, we were winning 2-0 the last time I saw." It's like, yeah, up here. So that is, I would call, the breakfast show treble to Falkirk, because we're beating Ewan Cameron's Hearts, we're beating Cat Harvey's Partick Thistle, and now George Bowie's Morton put to the sword as well. So fantastic. Keep bringing it on. Brilliant. Let's talk about Falkirk Daft rated. First of all, who was the best player on the park yesterday for you, Ray?
I'm right in saying Dylan Tate got man of the match. I would probably go with him, but actually, I think I'm going to go with Alfie just for... I want him to have his moment. He gets to be the hero for a change, so I'll go Alfie.
There we go. Alfie being Alfie and doing Alfie things. Ross, who was it for you?
I think you'll probably say Alfie anyway, John, which will nail it for him. But I think Dylan Tate, because 2 assists, a goal for himself as well. Just a phenomenal game for him. However, I am on board, if everybody else is, with Alfie, because he did make a massive difference. And what a lovely touch by Big Cole Donaldson, giving Alfie the armband to give to the wee girl.
I saw that at the end. That was a really, really nice touch from Cole, just to go, right, you go and you have a ton, Alfie. You've got us the win today.
What was also nice as well, though, and I don't know if you noticed this from Ian's picture, so there's three wee boys standing at the front who think they must be getting the armband, and the wee girl's just behind them, and then he almost goes past the wee boys to give it to the wee girl. I thought that was nice as well.
Well done, Alfie. So I'm going to give it. I think Alfie deserves it. Dylan, let's give it to Alfie. So Alfie Agyeman, Falkirk Daft rated player of the week. Who is our dafty, however?
For me, just there's only one candidate based on how yesterday was. It was Doogie, Ball of Rage.
I'll go with that as a second. Ray, have you got anyone else you'd like to throw under the bus?
You could go Doogie Emery, but I'll go Jet, because like you said, he looked slower than a week in the jail.
Yeah, okay then. But Doogie Emery gets it just for the absolute ball of rage that he was yesterday. Fantastic, brilliant. Now, before you go, Ray, we've got the new part of the show. I don't know if you've heard this yet. It's Falkirk Daft Versus. This is the part of the show. And now, you didn't maybe sign up for this, Ray, but we are going to give 5 questions about the Bairns and put our Falkirk knowledge to the test against the listeners. So that last week, I managed to beat Walking Down Hope Street, get it up, he's 1-0. I actually just saw who's doing the episode. We got teased on, I believe it was revealed.
Yes, that was Brian Martin.
Brian Martin.
I didn't guess that one. I said Brian Irvine or...
I think it was a few quite guesses for Gary Gillespie as well. So we beat Falkirk, basically Walking Down Hope Street 1-0. 5 questions are going to be asked. I'm going to get, because we figured there's a flaw in this game. So what I'm going to do, get you, Ray, will give me the answer. Ross, you will write down your answer before Ray gives it, okay?
Right, okay. Sounds like a plan. So that means
you don't hear each other's answers and can't copy each other, right? So I've got 5 questions on the Bairns. And it's Falkirk Daft Versus. All right, are you ready to play, gentlemen?
All good.
Right. Okay, nice, easy one to start you off. In what year did Falkirk win their first Scottish Cup? Ross, write down an answer. Tell me when you've got it written down.
Okay, I'll try and make it large for the camera to see it.
Ray, what have you got an answer?
Do you want me to say it in the new, or
yep, say it.
Is Ross finished? 1957.
1957, Ross, what have you written down? 1913 is the correct answer.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, 1-0, Ross Wayne. Right, okay, next question, question number two. Since 2010, who is Falkirk's top goal scorer? Since 2010, who is Falkirk's top goal scorer?
As an individually, season, or?
No, all
cumulatively.
Right. Easy okay. For me to say. Easy to me say. Let me know when you've got an answer written down. I'll go to Ray, Ross.
Right, 2 seconds.
Well, that's a tough one.
I've got, it's a guess by me, but I've got something written down.
Right, okay.
Am I to show it now?
No, nope, wait for Ray to give his answer.
Okay.
Lyle Taylor? I'm not sure, because I know he did Lyle score
Taylor.
A lot of goals.
Lyle Taylor is Ray's answer. What have you written down, Ross?
I've went with Morrison.
Callum Morrison is the correct answer.
50.
Daft.
Aye.
Ray, you need this one to stay in the game, sir.
I've had a beer.
This is quite tough. And do you know what? I'll give you the closest to answer unless you get a bang on, right? What is the capacity of the Falkirk Stadium? What is the capacity of the Falkirk Stadium? I'll give you the closest to. Ray, you got an idea?
Love a wee bit of crowd wankery. So like, I always love checking about stadium sizes and stuff. It's, I want to say it's 7,937. I'm sure that's not far off.
That's
that.
What Ray's going. What are you going for, Ross?
I think I know this, right? Because I'm a bit of a geek as well. So I've went 7,956.
One of you has the right answer.
As in spot on.
Spot on. Ray, you've got it. 7,937,2,1. Back in the game. Here we go.
Good man. Right. Well done.
What was Lee Miller's squad number in his last stint at the club? What was Lee Miller's squad number in his last stint at the club?
Because I know something a bit, it wasn't like a standard, you know, like 1-11. Was it not like 30 odds or something? I'm not sure.
I was about to say something, but I think I now know it. I think I now know it.
Right, okay, Ray, what, stab it in the dark? You need this. You need this.
I'm going to be wrong. I'll say 39. It's not going to be 37, obviously. So
39, Ross, what are you writing down?
I was going to say 16, which would be wrong because I'm pretty certain it was 99.
3-1 Falkirk Daft and a Falkirk Daft win. Bring it home with the Champions League music. Ross, you can start your voting over, Ray. Well done.
Was it 99, was it?
It was 99, spot on.
Superb.
I knew there was a 9 in it.
Sorry, Ray. So, which means it's 2-0 to the Falkirk Daft boys. Well played, Ross. Keeping it up for the podcast. Thank you very much. Ray, thank you so much for coming on and being a guest on Falkirk Daft. Really appreciate your time and your insight. How was your night out in Greenock? We didn't ask about that.
It was really good. Went out to a couple of pubs. Went to the Witherspoons in Greenock's quite nice, the James Watt. I know Ross was in there earlier in the day as well, I'm sure. I'm sure you put a post up saying about that.
No, not me. I have been in there before though. It's a decent one. We've been into that one in Greenock before. Did you just get the train then back along to Carterside, did you?
Well, see, because I don't live in Falkirk, we walked back into the town centre, went there, and then I jumped on at Greenock Central and then changed back over at Paisley to head back to Ayrshire.
Ah, right, got you. Good stuff.
Fantastic. Well, good day in Greenock. 3 points up the road, and you survived Greenock even after a Falkirk win. So well done, Ray.
Aye, there was a bit of spiciness to the interactions with the home supporters before the game. Like, they don't like Falkirk. You can tell.
No, they don't. There's a Ray McKinnon situation that just pushed it on, didn't it?
Every single person I spoke to brought up Ray McKinnon at some point. I'm like, mate,
let
it was
it go.
Six
Elsa,
years ago, man.
Let it go. Let it go. It was, yeah, he was a rubbish manager for Falkirk.
Right.
So,
got us relegated.
Exactly. Pretty much, aye. So there you go. Anyway, so thanks for joining us, Ray. If you want to be a pundit on Falkirk Daft, please get in touch with us. You can do that very easily. Pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk. We'd love to hear from you. Love to get you on the podcast. And thanks again to Ray.
My pleasure, guys. All part of the master plan. Let's just keep going.
Love it.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Every week in Falkirk Daft, we'll look ahead to next game, and we're going for five once again, as a Trust Trophy, the Challenge Cup, the B&Q Cup, the Petrofac Cup, the Iron Boo Cup, whatever it's called these days. I think it's the Trust Trophy. We're going up against our neighbours Stenhouse Muir this weekend down at Oak Hill View, 3 o'clock kickoff. And he's been already on this season. Welcome once again from the terrace and view from the terrace. It's Craig Telfer. How are you doing, Craig?
I'm brilliant. Thank you very much for asking me back on. I always hoped that I'd get the chance to come back on and talk to you both, but I just didn't appreciate it. It would be about 4 weeks after the after the first appearance. So, no, great to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Good. Let's go back to the League Cup, Craig. What did you make of that game? Because we didn't get the chance to speak to you about it afterwards. What did you make of Stenhouse Muir that day and of Falkirk?
Hey, I thought Stenhouse Muir were horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. I think that the scoreline actually flattered them. I think if Falkirk could come away with a 6-0 win, a 7-0 win, I don't think that would have been unfair. I thought that Falkirk had umpteen chances to score. I thought that Stenhouse Muir, I think they had one shot in the whole game, and that was a pot shot from distance that went flying over the crossbar, barely got into Falkirk's half, barely kept the ball, and it was just a really poor day for us. And I know that it's effectively for us a dead rubber game, and for you guys, well, you had to win, and you had to win by a handsome scoreline to progress the next stage, and that's something that Falkirk did. But it wasn't a good game. I wasn't able to make it. I had work on that day. I had to work from home. I sat with two laptops up and watched the game via Falkirk TV, and it was just I think I was just going, fuck's sake, Stenny. I think that was my underlying thing throughout that game. So yeah, not a good performance. We didn't really show ourselves well there. And I saw the comments in Pine Bovril after the fact, and folk were saying, boy, Telfer was on that podcast saying that Stenhouse Muir are tight defensively, talking out his arse. And we didn't give a good account of ourselves that afternoon.
But since then, you've got to be delighted with your league form.
Oh yeah, it's been a brilliant start to the season. I think if you'd have said to any Warriors fan you can have 9 points from the first five games, I think we'd have taken it. It's obviously a step up in quality moving from League Two into League One, but I've been pleasantly surprised by what I've seen from the Warriors. I think after that League Cup game, yes, you're playing good teams in Dundee United, A United and Falkirk, full-time teams that are of a higher calibre to you. You're going to get a bit of a chasing, and I think that perhaps tempered expectations going into this season. You think, oh, we might struggle, but certainly the games at home played our broth. I think at the start of the season, we're one of the favourites to win the league title. Much better than 2-1. The scoreline isn't reflective of the game itself. Stenny were much better than them. Played really well, really good second half performance against Cove Rangers, beat them 3-2. And then just at the weekend there, beat Annan Athletic 5-1. And out of the five games as well, we weren't very good against Kelty Hearts, but that's the only time we looked out our depth a little bit. Against Alloa, we lost that match. That should have been a draw. But from the five games so far, I think that we've settled in quite well into League One. And it's still very early days, and I would still take eighth place just now if you offered it to me. However, very positive signs here from Gary Naismith and the rest of the team.
I agree, Craig. I've been keeping an eye on Stenny as well quite a bit. One of our good pals, aptly named Sheepy. He goes, he's
yes.
a big Aberdeen. You might
yeah.
know, he's a massive Aberdeen fan.
Don't know how he manages it. Don't know how he manages
it. I met him on the train. I actually met his wife. I was going through to Glasgow on Friday, and he was going out for his birthday dinner, and he was telling me the tales of how he was on the 9 o'clock train to Ross County. Then he was out, and I think he was having a night out in Aberdeen. And I was just like to his wife going,
How is he getting away with it? He went to 92 games last season or something.
And on top of that, he goes to Scotland home and away as well. So he is a massive football fan. I don't know how he gets the annual leave. I don't know how he gets the time off with his wife. But you really, you kind of, when you hear his tales about travelling the length and breadth, just the continent actually, to watch football, you're really quite impressed by him.
Yeah. Impressed. He must have a massive knob for his wife to do.
That is the only reason. I hope you're listening to this, Sheepy. Do please confirm this or not. We'll see you on Saturday.
But no, I've been keeping a close eye on it because Sheepy, bless him, he goes to a lot of Steadisphere games as well. And I think he's looked like a completely different team from that League Cup tie. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm a wee bit nervous about next Saturday because I genuinely think we will. I think we'll bring in maybe not a full change, but I think we'll bring in three or four players who've been on the bench will come in. Combine that with being Oakleview, where we don't have a great record, and then Stenny's on form. I think it's going to be a real proper. I think it'll be a brilliant cup tie, but I don't think it's a banker of any sort.
I think you're just trying to cover your own back there, Ross. I think Falkirk will. I can understand going into this one, you maybe put all these factors into your head and think, oh, we might struggle this one, but I would fancy Falkirk for this one again. It's the like similar to you've been keeping an eye on tennis. We have been keeping an eye on Falkirk. Try keep an eye on all the football in the Championship, League One and League Two. But just Falkirk looked really, really impressive, and what has impressed me so much about this side. When they're playing well, they're really, really good to watch. You know, I mean, particularly I think one of the goals of the season so far was Ethan Rossi's goal against Hearts. Just like there's no better kind of football in the world than counter-attacking football. And when you see like Dylan Tate releasing Keelan Adams down the wing and the cutback for him and the finish at the box, great kind of football. Falkirk are really, really good at the moment. But even when they're not playing well, just like perhaps yesterday against Greenock Morton, you still find a way to win, and you can still dig out, and that spirit and that team, the team spirit will go a long way. And yes, you might be resting guys and perhaps playing like guys like Michael McKenna. You might swap the goalkeepers around. Finn Yates might get a shot. Nevertheless, these old guys who are still really, really want to impress and get back into the starting 11. So it's by, even though they might be fringe players at the moment, these guys will still have a point to prove. And I think from Stenis Muir's perspective, I can see Gary Naismith making the changes as well. Similar to yourselves, the goalkeepers might swap places. Some of the guys who have been on the bench lately, they might get a shot. I don't think it's... I was talking to guys after the game yesterday, and we were saying that this game's come at quite a bad time for us, because ideally we just want to get to the next league game against Montrose and try and build on the momentum from the wins against Cove Rangers, against Ann Athletic, and the fact that we're coming up against a really good Falkirk team in a second-tier competition, it's not the ideal time for us. So I, as a fan, I'm not taking this game particularly seriously. If it was Scottish Cup, that'd be a different matter. And I think that's why we might see a wee bit of change. I think it might be a fringe side from both teams here. Nevertheless, I would still expect Falkirk to go and do the business here.
Interesting. I wonder if Blair Alston will score, because you know that old ex-player coming back to haunt you mantra is slightly worried that Blair will play, and he'll, you know, he scored a hat trick at the weekend. Yeah. Was it? He always scores worldies, Craig. Did he score any worldies yesterday?
They weren't quite worldies, but there were two of them. One was a penalty and two of them were very well taken. And it's really funny. So we've had Blair Alston, he's made four appearances for us. And he's not played badly, but he's not really done anything that had stood out and make you go, wow. You know, sometimes when you see a player who's played at a very high level come down, you think this guy's a standout for a mile. For instance, like Fraser Fyvie at Cove Rangers, you can tell, like, watching him the previous week, you can just tell that he's just a cut above, just in terms of his touch, his passing, the way he carries himself in the pitch. And with Alston, we've not quite seen yet that yet. And when the second half kicked off, I was actually thinking, I'm going to be speaking to John and Ross about this. I'm not sure if I'm going to have anything much at all to say about Blair Alston. But all of a sudden, I mean, his contribution yesterday, a 7-minute hat-trick, and then substituted off to a standing ovation, just remarkable stuff. He seems to me like the sort of player who won't really grab a game by the scruff of the neck or won't really do anything to dominate a game. He'll perhaps feels like a bit of a moments player, but when he does come into the game, when he does get involved, he can make a big contribution, just like he did yesterday. Really impressive hat-trick. And you could tell the first goal, it was quite a nice counter-attacking move, and the ball was played out wide, cut back into him, and I think most players would have hit it first time, but with players diving in, he just took a touch, the players dived in. It was like something out of a Tom and Jerry cartoon. The players dived in, completely missed it, and then he just smashed it into the net. So a really, really well-taken goal, and hopefully that's a sign of things to come. I don't think he's 100% fit yet, so I do think he might start this game against yourselves on Saturday. But if he can keep that sort of that form up and contribute the way he does, and I think we've got a really good sign in our hands. Early days yet, but that was his, by far and away, his best performance for the club so far.
Worrying, Ross. It's worrying.
We know what Blair's capable of. I loved him in his first spell. He obviously didn't have a fantastic second spell with us, and that was probably more due to the fact that the club is a complete basket case at the time. But I think we remember he has magic moments in him, just like Craig, you said there. He does definitely have a magic moment, and you think, you know, he's never going to score from that angle, or he's never going to shoot from there, and he does. He's just Mr. Consistent, and I think he's an attacking player who does get involved, but he's also one of these players that almost sort of flies under the radar as well.
Yeah, I think you're right in describing as well, because we've been talking about him not necessarily like grabbing games by the scruff of the neck, but he certainly can't fault his work rate or his effort, because one thing that Stennis were doing yesterday, they've got a really good press. It all leads from the front from Matty Aitken, and the three players that come in behind him are really crucial to that. And it wasn't as if that Olsen was just walking around the pitch just waiting to get the ball. He was getting involved in closing down players and forcing them to pass the ball sideways or force it to pass it into areas of the pitch they didn't necessarily want to. So he was good for that. So it's like I say, early days, but that was a really good performance yesterday. And I think that fans are really quite taking them. There was a nice moment at the end of the pitch just when he was coming off. I think he's got a wee boy, must be about 3 or 4. They were put over the wall and he ran towards his dad and got picked up and he gets handed the match ball. So that was really, really sweet to see as well. And I think he seems to be settling quite nicely into part-time football. I think he packed in full-time football. He's training to be an accountant or a financial advisor or something along those lines. Yeah. And I think that he's had a good career, but perhaps not the career that you're going to retire on in your 30s. So he's obviously looking to the next stage, and hopefully that he can fit nicely in at Stennis Muir, and we can continue to let him enjoy his own football, and he can look to the future as well.
Apart from Blair then, Craig, is it still the sort of same players that we'll be looking out from a Falkirk perspective, like Matt Aitken, players like that, Nat Wedderburn?
It's been, and I say the guys you're looking out for, I mean, let's be honest, no one played well in that League Cup tie. Yeah. No one played well. The guys that have started the season particularly well, there's a boy, Ross Taylor, who is a winger. We signed him from Auchinleck Talbot last summer. He's started the season very, very well. Very tricky player, very slight snake hips. You know, he's the sort of player who can, he's really, really fast, really exciting, really good at getting other players booked, because he can just drop the shoulder and players think they've got that extra second to try and win the ball off him, and he's away. But he's really exciting. He's contributing very strongly. But I would say our best player at the moment is a boy, Michael Anderson, that plays in the middle of the park. I think I spoke about him when we were on the show last time. Again, didn't necessarily see the best of him at the Falkirk Stadium a couple of weeks ago, but he started the season really, really strongly. 4 goals so far in all competitions, and just someone who's looking like a complete midfielder. Really, really important to how we play. Box to box, very aggressive, good passer. He's chipping in with goals now as well. And I think he's a player now that, as fans, we're all just kind of hoping that we sign him up for even next season, because I do think that other teams, I'm not sure he'll go into full-time football. I think he's got quite a good job outside, but I think better paying clubs might be looking to take him. So they're the players I'd keep an eye on. But hopefully, I just want to see a better performance than we saw the other week.
Before getting to predictions, what are you drinking before? Are you going to be in the wee bar beforehand, or are you going to go out to the Plough or Talk of the Town, the old Gilmore's, which I've not been into since it's been done up?
I'm not going to this game. I'll be honest. This is a game I was actually, and this match isn't particularly appealing to a lot of fans. Well, certainly the fans that I spoke to as well, just for a number of reasons. One, we got pumped off Falkirk a couple of weeks ago, so that puts people off going to. You don't want to get your pants pulled down on your home patch, and I think that might happen. two, it's like a second tier competition. I know that the Challenge Cup means a lot to Stennis Muir, given that we won it. Like
I was actually at that game. Roddy McKenzie in the goals.
Yes, exactly. It was George Campos, goalie jersey on. I know it's a competition that means a lot to Stennis Muir, but like latterly, I don't think we take it quite as seriously. I think since the introduction of B teams into the competition, I don't think it necessarily makes it all that appealing. And on top of that, it's £20 to go. So
the pricing of it, I have to say it was a bit piss takey from Stenny to then ram it up to £20 because it was
John, they must have agreed the price between the clubs, so I don't know if it'll all be on Stennis Muir, but I think you can understand it to a degree as well, because they're probably thinking,
well, 1100 there's 1100 sports tickets already sold from the Falkirk end already, so
I can see it's an appealing game for Falkirk to come to, because one, it's just down the road. Two, you can just get up your local rivals. Three, I'm going to assume you guys are probably favourites for the competition.
I would think so.
Probably say you're one of the favourites. Yeah. I know it's not necessarily Falkirk's number one priority this season, but it's a nice bonus to have if you get a League and Cup double this season. That's probably tempting fate. I mean, you get promoted. Falkirk's probably aim is to finish in the top four this season, but if you top it off with a cup, that's really impressive. And you get to stand on the terracing as well. I think Oakleview is quite a good place to go and watch football when you're behind the goals there. So I can understand it's an attractive for the Bairns, but maybe not so much for Stennis Muir. So that's why I don't think there'll be. I mean, it's only empirically, it's only a handful of people that I spoke to, but we're all generally of the same opinion that it's perhaps not the most appealing game for us to go to. And I can understand there might be people listening to this and might think, oh, you're not a real fan and all that, but it's come on, sometimes nice to have a weekend off, you know, and go and do something a bit different.
Well, we are on it. So there was a house party at mine beforehand. Me and Ross are getting on it. I'm going to serve up Venoms and Ode to the Warriors Club, which is very famous for its Venoms. Yes. The whiskey's going to be out. Got two. Ross is bringing on his perfect draft machine, so we have two perfect draft machines on the go. Party time is here, and I managed to blag free pies from Pie Sports. Thank you very much to Ross and Pie Sports.
Well done, you. I feel quite bad. I've made alternative arrangements, John. I should have come round to your house as well. We could have had a venom and a pie. That's a perfect way to kick off the weekend.
We pub crawl around steady. I believe it's called the Larbert snake. Someone described me as the Larbert snake, right? So if you listen to us, you start at the commercial, right?
Yep.
In the bowling club. Yep. Then you go down to the station, then you go to the Crown, then the Plough, then you now talk of the towns there. So you go talk of the town and then up to the Warriors Club to finish off.
No, that makes sense. Since it's not something that I've done myself, but what better way to kick off
your steak.
Yeah, the Challenge Cup, a Challenge Cup tie between local rivals, aye. Enjoy yourselves.
There you go. Craig, what do you think the score's going to be?
I think a narrow Falkirk win. I think that what Ross is saying there about the number of changes you're making, I don't think Falkirk might not be as fluent as they were, but I think it might be 3-1 to Falkirk.
Ross, what do you think? Do you think there'll be, who do you think will come into the side? What do you think the score will be?
I think Alfie Aggieman will come in. He's got his winner yesterday.
Took it really, really well. Really good goal.
What a finish. And we're just saying...
The hips there to take it away from to create the space for himself.
Exactly. He barely touched the ball until he scored. So it was lovely. So I think Alfie will come in.
And Leon will get a wee run out.
I think Leon McCann will play. He'll come in for Sean Mackey. I think Finn Yates will come in just as Craig's mentioned.
Ryan Shanley will come in for Big Ross Giroux.
Potentially. I think Michael McKenna will McKenna will start as well. So I think there will be changes. I think it'll be tighter than Craig has mentioned. I'm going to go 2-1 Falkirk. I think it'll be tighter. If Blair Olsen scores, I have a funny feeling he won't celebrate though, because... He does.
Oh, I hate players that do that.
No, listen. He'll have the hands up as apologetic because he's a good lad. I've met him outside football as well. He's got a lot of time for Falkirk and the fans as well. I don't think he would never sign for Dunfermline. He always said that he would never sign for the bar.
Good lad.
So that's the main thing.
I think Blair Olsen will score. He won't celebrate, but I think it'll be 2-1.
Yeah, I think 2-0. I'm going to go for 2-0. But I think, there will be changes made. And if you're right saying that as well, Craig, it's changes for Stenny as well.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how the two...
I just think for this competition, I just think that if you've got a squad of about 20, 21 boys, let's be honest, it's no one's priority. No one sets out at the beginning of the season to try and win the Challenge Cup. So you have to be fair. Like, the manager has to be fair and give the guys that turn up and train and work hard and are patient, they need to get their chance. And this is what this competition allows here. So I think that will be the same for both teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Austin, Craig, thank you so much for joining us once again on Falkirk Daft. Maybe we'll have a reunion again round the Scottish Cup.
Can't wait. I'll definitely go to that. The Scottish Cup's the big one. That's the exciting one. Not a dead rubber League Cup tie or a daft SPFL Trust Trophy Cup. The Scottish Cup's the big one. So if there is one, you can guarantee I will be here chatting to you again. So thanks very much for having me back.
Brilliant. And just before you go, view from the terrace, back on the telly soon?
27th of September. Back in the box. And I hope that our first episode coincides with your first league defeat. So I can talk about that. That's what I'm hoping for.
So just to clarify, I know you said no last time, but if Falkirk are still invincible come that episode one, you're still not going to wear a Falkirk shirt.
Ross, there'll be a cold day in hell before the day. I will gladly talk up Falkirk. I think that, like I said earlier, I think they're a really, really good side to watch. There's so much to like about them. I don't mind saying how good a side they are, but that steeple will not touch my chest. I can just tell you that for now. Thank you.
Craig, thanks once again for coming on Falkirk Daft.
No worries, guys. Pleasure. Take care. See you soon.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global.
And that is it. The big bow tied on this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much to our sponsors, of course, Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global, and get up there and try that out. Invincible's beer out. It is worth it. Also, thanks to this week's episode sponsor, the Falkirk District Tartan Army. All the links of how to join that and how to get the Scotland games with them are below. Click on that. Thanks to Neil for jumping on board this week's Falkirk Daft. And of course, the Falkirk football fans in training. Remember, get involved with the over 50s new initiative that they've launched. All the links are below again to that. They're going to have the strictly over 50s 8-a-side game. Super Vets football, they're calling it, which I absolutely love. And that will happen every Friday at the Falkirk Stadium between 5 and 6. So get involved in that. If you want to sponsor or get a mention on Falkirk Daft, we are open to sponsorship opportunities. We're absolutely for it. Drop us an email, sales@falkirkdaft.co.uk. On to Steny and the Challenge Cup now, Ross. I'm looking forward to it. We're having a wee party around at mine beforehand. You're all up for the venom, aren't you?
I don't know if my bowels and what have you will be, but yeah, we'll go with it. And
I'll be good. Like Craig was saying, you know, that I'll be good away day that 1100 in the cow shed at Steny. We need to get a shot on that drum. If Kieran or any of the ultras are listening, let's get Ross on the drum. I want to see that happen. We'll get a couple of venoms and tell me. We'll have Stone Island on. Boom, here we go.
I tell you one thing, it looks bloody hard work. See, when you see the boys actually doing the drumming, though, I don't think that's a rookie place to try it out, but we'll see.
I want to see it happen. I want a video for Falkirk Daft, so let's make that happen this Saturday.
My version would just be one stick, and it would be the old
yeah,
that would be it.
We can manage that, I'm sure. Jump on our Discord channel if you want to keep up with all the Falkirk Daft stuff. There's chat going on in there all the time. There was a lot of chat going on about Dougie Emery and his burst of anger yesterday. And you can subscribe and like the podcast on YouTube. If you listen to it, you can watch us as well. Please do that. We're almost at 1,000 on YouTube, which is great. And we've seen a lot of people this season, been a lot more people watching. So thank you so much if you're one of those, and really, really appreciate that. And if you want to buy merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Get in touch with us anytime, john@falkirkdaft.co.uk or ross@falkirkdaft.co.uk. Oh, before I go, I meant to say Jen Hogarth. Hello, Jen Hogarth, Nikki's mum. So I was walking the dog yesterday, had my headphones in, and I just saw this van or this car passing me. I just heard a beep of the horn, and I saw it was Jen, who was just clearly on her way back from the game, and was like, yay! So,
Jen, who saw yesterday.
So brilliant. Anything else to add at this point? I'm really looking forward to Saturday. I know, it's just around the corner from my house, so I'm just
I really am as well. It's I know Oakleview hasn't always been the best
remember the last time we were at Local View for that game. Yeah,
nightmares of that, and I'm sure Ben still, well, he does watch it because he tells us often enough that he watches the highlights from that November, what was it, November 2018 or something like that. But I would like to win this tournament, because obviously the chances of winning the Scottish Cup or indeed the League Cup are heightened because of who you face. But this is within our grasp, and I would quite like to win it. I would quite like to get 5, which would be amazing. To have won this trophy 5 times. I still call it the B&Q Cup, if I'm being honest. But I still call it that. But yeah, it would be nice to win. But on the flip side, I wouldn't worry too much or lose much sleep if we didn't win on Saturday, because as Craig said as well, the league is the number one priority.
Absolutely. Well, looking forward to the away day anyway. And we'll see you all down there at Stenny. 1,100 Bairns turn up. Should be a good laugh, no matter what. We'll get out on the beer afterwards as well, Ross. We'll go to for a couple at the station, I think, afterwards.
There we go.
Once we've had our venoms, of course. But thanks very much for listening to our folk at that. We'll see you on the next one. A little bit of the break from the league, which is always a bit of respite and always a little bit of pressure off. But fingers crossed we're on here next week talking about a Falkirk win. And we'll see you then. Until next time.
Expect unexpectedly.